You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen, we win in Christ, and I'm so happy to have you with us today. I am teaching a series entitled The God of Abundance. In 42 years and 8 months as a pastor, I taught on all kinds of subjects because man has 5 basic needs: spiritual, mentally, emotional, physical, social, that's relational, and financial. So in those years, I taught on all those areas. But in the area of finances and material prosperity, and I'm talking about prosperity, material prosperity from a biblical approach now, this series, The God of Abundance, I would classify as the most important series that I taught on the area of financial prosperity. I can't tell you how this series has blessed my life, my ministry, and I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it will bless and transform your life. I have no doubts about it. It's one of those go-to sermons that if you want to bless somebody, especially in the area of finances, I'm going to teach them the God of Abundance because it expands your capacity to believe. It expands your view and perspective of God and your potential in God. So we're talking about the God of Abundance. This is episode number 6, our 6th lesson. And each one of these lessons, we have a subtopic, and our subtopic today is the abundance formula. The abundance formula. And I created this little formula of abundance, and it goes like this: God's ability plus man's responsibility equals godly abundance. I'll give that to you again. God's ability plus man's ability equals godly abundance. We're talking about the abundance formula. So as you can see, there's going to be 2 sides to this episode. We're going to talk about God's ability in the first part of the episode, and then we're going to talk about man's responsibility in the second part of this episode. So let's talk about God's ability, and I get so excited when I get into this area in this series. I'll give you a definition of God's ability. God's ability is the infinite and limitless power and provision of Almighty God. God's ability is the infinite and limitless power and provision of Almighty God. And as we've learned in this series, Almighty God is the English translation of the Hebrew El Shaddai. So God's ability is connected to His infinite, His limitless power and provision. infinite, limitless power and provision. Now, I want to give you a proof text because these lessons are based off biblical principles, because I am teaching you a biblical approach to material prosperity and abundance. So I want to look at a proof text, one verse of scripture, and then I want to look at a man. We're going to look at Solomon, and we're talking about God's ability. What can God do? What is God's capacity? Now, Ephesians chapter 3, 20 is a very powerful verse of scripture, talking about God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think in the traditional King James Version. But I want to read it to you in the Message Bible, Ephesians 3:20. It says, God can do anything you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Oh, so powerful. So powerful. God can do anything. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine, far more than you could ever guess, far more than you can ever request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Think about that. We're talking about God's ability, and this text says that He's able to do, He has the capacity to do far more than we can imagine, far more than we could guess, far more than we can request. Wow, my goodness, my goodness, He's the God of abundance. Now, let's look at a man, Solomon, the richest man to ever live on planet Earth. Solomon was a man blessed with abundance. Blessed with abundance, blessed with abundance, blessed with abundance. We're talking about God's ability. And God, Solomon, succeeded David, his father, just a child, just a youth, inexperienced, didn't know much about leadership. He went to God and he prayed after giving an enormous sacrifice. He said, now listen, you put me in this position, I'm paraphrasing, you put me in this position, God, and I don't know how to go out and come in. I understand that. In other words, he said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to run this kingdom. I don't know how to lead your people. And he asked God for wisdom to be able to do it in a way that was pleasing to him. Out of all the things, because God said, ask me, ask me. Think about all the things. If God came to you and God said, ask me what you want, what would you ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. Think about it. He didn't ask for health. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for God to destroy his enemies. He asked for wisdom to lead his people, God's people. And listen what he said. God replied in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 12 in the New Living Translation. This is God's reply. I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. God said, listen, you asked me for wisdom? He says, listen, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you. He says, I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. More than what you asked for. I'm going to give you wealth. God, not the devil, not the devil. God said, I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you fame. God said, I'm going to make you famous. Think about it. God said that the man didn't ask for it. He didn't ask for it. He didn't say, make me famous, give me a whole lot. No, he didn't ask for it. God said, listen, I want you to have it. I want you to have wealth. I want you to have riches. I want you to have fame. And I believe God wants you to have wealth. I believe God wants you to have riches. I believe God wants you to have fame. I believe God is not opposed to you having wealth and riches and fame. He couldn't be because he wanted it for Solomon. And he said, you're going to be more wealthy than any king before you, more wealthy than any king after you. We're talking about God's ability. Solomon, as a result of what God said, because the Bible said that God gives us the power to get wealth, Solomon had multiple streams of income. Let's look at some of them. He received a gift from the Queen of Sheba that some estimate at $63 million. Probably was more than that. His annual income from gifts, people just giving him, was $20 billion. There is no record of the worth of his other possessions that he gained through trade, livestock. He had a monopoly in livestock, inventions, business revenue. He received income from counseling because of that wisdom. Kings and men came to him for advice and counsel and direction. So he received income from counseling and then creative products, monopolies. He had creative ideas, all generating money. He was a writer. Solomon was an author. Solomon was a publisher. Solomon was a builder. He had income coming from all these different streams. God was blessing the works of his hand. God was giving him ideas. God was giving him favor with people. People wanted to bless him. In fact, there came a point where they stopped counting Solomon's wealth. Silver was like rocks, like gravel rocks. The man, Solomon, was a multi-trillionaire. Not a millionaire, not a billionaire. Forbes lists billionaires. And the wealthiest man in the world has somewhere over $100 and some billion. And we say he's the wealthiest man in the world. Well, the wealthiest man in the world today couldn't even be in the same class with Solomon. Solomon was a multi-trillionaire. Wrap your head around that. Trillionaire. God had no fear. Follow me, precious people. God had no fear of blessing Solomon with too much. He didn't need, Solomon didn't need all this. Think about it. And we said, well, I don't need this or all that's not necessary. It wasn't necessary. Think about it. Solomon didn't need this. Solomon needed to be a trillionaire. Solomon didn't need billions of dollars coming into him. He didn't need it. God wanted him to have it. It was God, wasn't the devil, wasn't greed, wasn't materialism. God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bless you. Think about that. And unfortunately, Solomon didn't have a happy end to his life. In fact, it appears that he backslid, turned away from God. But it was not wealth that did it. Wasn't his wealth that caused him to fall and turn. It was lust. It was them girls. Listen, think about it. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now listen, God bless him with the wealth. He did not bless him with 700 wives. Now, if you want to talk about greed, you want to talk about lust, you want to talk about whatever, you can talk about it in this area. When you get in this area, yeah, we talking about lust, we talking about greed, we talking about a whole lot of stuff. Nobody needs 700 wives. Listen, I got one. And one is enough. If she's a good one and I got a good one. If you got a good one, one is enough. Want us to know. So it wasn't his wealth that destroyed him, because God gave him the wealth. It was them girls. It was his lust. You know, it was his desire. 700 wives, 300 concubines. How you going to get to 1,000 women? How you going to have time for 1,000 women? Now, why did God bless Solomon with so much? I'll give you four reasons that I believe he blessed him with so much, and then we're going to get over into man's responsibility. God blessed Solomon with so much because, number one, God's nature is abundance. God blessed Solomon with so much because initially Solomon was in proper spiritual alignment. Proper spiritual alignment has to do with priorities, motives, has to do with attitude and trust. And Solomon, in the beginning, was in proper spiritual alignment. Solomon, God bless Solomon with so much because Solomon was a great giver. We find that in 1 Kings 3:3-4, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. God, he was an enormous giver. And then finally, I believe number four, God blessed Solomon with so much is because Solomon was a great receiver. Solomon just received everything God wanted to give. When people came in to bless Solomon, Solomon said, well, you know, listen, no, I can't take that. No, he was a great receiver. Are you a great receiver? Maybe God wants you to have excess, but you're not a great receiver because you need your mind renewed. Remember, God has a purpose for the excess. Now, let's talk about man's responsibility. This abundance formula has to do with God's ability. We want to show you through the text, Ephesians 3:20, and through a man, we wanted you to see a man that God blessed so you can see his capacity. God wanted us to see his capacity to be able to bless an individual. God wanted us to see, so he recorded it in scripture so you would understand his capacity. But the formula is God's ability plus man's responsibility. Every chance I get, I'm going to share this because I got to share this before I get into this. It's going to be simple when I get into man's responsibility. But every chance I get, I always tell people that God is not in control. I know you've heard that, probably preached that, preachers. I know. No, let me set this up. I got to set this up because if you don't get this, and I keep throwing it out there so you can get this, there's a difference between sovereignty and control. Got it? God is sovereign, but he's not in control. Now, sovereignty simply means that God is above everybody. There's nobody he's looking up to. God is the creator. God is the owner. God is the source of everything. God doesn't have to ask anybody permission. He's sovereign, answerable to no one, above everybody. He's not second to any. He's sovereign. But he's not in control. Control simply means to dictate the actions and the behaviors of others. For example, you've used a TV remote. Now, the TV remotes give you control. Maybe the manufacturer, not maybe, but the manufacturer created the TV. The store sold the TV. But once you got the TV, they gave you a remote. And with that remote, you can dictate what shows. You can say, no, I don't want you. You can say, yes, I want you. You can say, come up louder. You can say, come back down. You can mute the TV, the program, you're in control. God is not manipulating people's behavior, because if he was determined what people do and not do, then he couldn't hold us accountable. In his sovereignty, follow me, I got to get this quick. In his sovereignty, he made three decisions. He decided to give the earth to man to rule. That's the dominion mandate in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Secondly, he decided in his sovereignty, nobody made him to do it. He decided that he was going to work through the in the earth through partnership. That's why we have to pray. And then thirdly, in his sovereignty, he gave man free will. In other words, man can say yes and man can say no to things. Because in his sovereignty, he made these three decisions. These three decisions that he made in his sovereignty limits us. So God is not determining. Now, listen carefully. God is not determining these people are going to be poor and these people are going to be middle class and these people are going to be rich. God is not doing that. That is not biblical. Man has a responsibility, and that's that second part of the formula. Now, listen carefully. Here's the definition I want to work with in man's responsibility. Man's responsibility is the level of commitment that man has to understand God's principles, his principles of abundance, and obedience to carry out God's instructions and mandates. God's responsibility is man's level of commitment to understand God's principles of abundance. God has some principles of abundance. It is your responsibility to understand those principles of abundance. And if you'll walk through in this prosperity edition, I will teach you, I am teaching you God's principles of abundance. So you have to accept responsibility for learning and understanding these principles, and then you have to assume responsibility of obedience to carry out God's instructions and mandates. Now, I'll give you a couple of illustrations of man's responsibility. In 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, I'll give you a synopsis. A woman's husband died. He was the breadwinner, and in those days, the women usually worked in the home, and the man worked, and he was the sole breadwinner. This particular man who died was a prophet, and he died and left the family in debt. The creditors came, so the woman was concerned, how am I going to pay all these bills? My husband is dead. The source of income has been shut off through his death. So she ran to the prophet and she said, the prophet, listen, my husband was a prophet. He served under you and you knew he feared the Lord, but he died and left us in debt. And the creditors are at the door. They want to take my two sons and make them slaves to pay for the debt. And the prophet said to her, what do you have in your house? And she said, I just got a little pot of oil, a little pot of oil. And he said to her, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your neighbors and I want you to borrow vessels. And then I want you to take those vessels and I want you to go to your home and shut the door, take that bottle of oil that you have and begin to pour in the vessels. She did that. And the Bible says that when she ran out of vessels, the oil stopped flowing. She went back to the man of God and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, live off the rest. Got it? We're talking about man's responsibility. Now, in this story, God did not specify how many vessels the widow should borrow. He did not specify. In fact, the third verse, if you read it in the traditional King James Version, he said to this woman, borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. In the New King James Version, he said to her, do not gather just a few vessels. Now notice, he didn't say how many. He said, just don't borrow a few. He didn't say how many. The reason why the prophet didn't say how many, he didn't say borrow 10, borrow 100, borrow 20. Why? Because that would have limited God. It would have limited God. So the man of God simply said, just don't borrow a few. Now, she had to decide how many she was going to borrow. Now, watch this. God did not determine how many vessels. She determined that. And God did not run out of oil. She ran out of vessels and the oil stopped flowing. So if she'd have had more vessels, the oil would have kept coming, kept flowing. But she didn't have any more, so the oil stopped flowing. So the quality and level of her and her family's lifestyle was determined by her, wasn't determined by God. Listen, he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, live off the rest. Think about it. If she had had thousands of vessels, she would have had thousands of vessels to pay off her debt. And everything over that would have been for her and her family. So she, not God, determined the level of her lifestyle. It was her, man's responsibility. Another proof text to man's responsibility found over in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat, preaching the boat. Then he said to Peter, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets, plural, for drought. Peter began to remonstrate with Jesus, said, listen, we fished all night, have taken nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net, singular. When they had this done, the Bible says they gathered a great multitude of fish, so many fish that the net broke. He called his partners over. They brought their ship over. They filled both ships and the ship began to sink. God is extravagant, but he's not wasteful. He's excessive. Think about it. Two boatloads of fish and the boats are sinking. But the point that I want you to see here is God did not specify how many nets to let down. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a drought. Not how, he didn't tell how many, because if Jesus had said how many, it would have limited God. So he said, let down your nets. So God didn't determine how much he received. Peter determined that by how many nets, and he put out one net. So God didn't run out of fish. Peter ran out of nets, and the net broke because he didn't put out all of his nets. And the net broke, and then he called his partners, and so they had two ships. But what if they'd have had three ships or four ships or five ships? Then they'd have filled all the ships. But they had Peter's and the partners, James and John, and they filled both of them. Now notice, God didn't run out of fish. Peter ran out of nets. Peter ran out of boats. We determine, so let's conclude this lesson today. I got four statements I want to make as I close this. Oh, I know you get this. I know it. I can sense in your spirit that your faith is rising. I sense it. I sense it. And your spirit is opening up. Your capacity to believe is increasing. Now, we're talking about the abundance formula. God's ability plus man's responsibility equals godly abundance. Here's four concluding statements. Number one, we determine how much we receive from God, not God. You determine how much you receive from God, not God. You're experiencing because you've determined that. It may have been unconscious. It may have been because you thought that God determined where you were right now. But we determine what we receive from God, not God. Because if God determined that some people be poor and some people be middle class and some people be rich, then God would be a respecter of persons. And the Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. Number two, people usually live on the level of their believing and expectation. People usually live on the level of their believing and their expectation. That's what you're doing. You're living on the level of your believing You're living on the level of your expectation. Number three, our capacity to believe and our commitment to obey God's instructions and mandates determine how much we receive from God and our level of abundance. Our capacity to believe, that's what I'm trying to do in these episodes. I'm trying to enlarge your capacity to believe. Our commitment to obey, that's within your decision making. Your commitment to obey the instructions and the mandates that God gives you will determine how much you receive from God and your level of abundance. And then fourthly and finally, if we decide we have enough, God will say, okay. That's true on an individual level, true on a corporate level. It's true in your individual life. It's true in your ministry, your church, your business on a corporate level. If you decide, I got enough, I'm satisfied, I got enough, God will say, okay. If you decide you have just enough, you're all right, you're satisfied, then guess what? God will say, okay. Then the flow of awe, the flow of abundance, the flow of material resources will stop. Because it's going to stop at the level of your capacity to believe and your commitment to obey. Listen, I'm out of time. Oh, that was good. Come on, high five me, bam. Come on, high five me, bam. Write in the text. That was good. Come on, put it, write it down there. Let me see what you got out of this. Let me see what you got out of this. This is some good stuff, but we're not finished. We still got a little ways to go. But I thank you for spending this time with me. Go back and listen to these episodes. Build it down in your spirit. You can go to MikeMoore.com. You can go to YouTube. Pull these up. You can download my app. The Mike Moore app is free. You can download it and go back and listen to these things and build it in your spirit. And I'm telling you, there's nothing you can't accomplish with your faith. I gotta go, but I look forward to seeing you next time.